In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We hear the second part of the interview with Harold Kotz. Harold left off discussing how humanity may be captured in the echo of a satanic cult that has long been dissolved, yet we're replaying the trauma through our nervous system and reviving a traumatic loop. Is Harold onto something here? Even if he's partially correct, it does allow the human collective mind to reimagine a better world. But we visit Matthew Deleuze again, a quote from The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We're Enslaved by the Serpent Cult. Quote, "Sadly, your subconscious has been interfered with and your plans have been sabotaged. Your mind, your subconscious, has been altered to operate on the lines that the serpent cult wants it to operate on and not how you want. Your spiritual intent in this world has been replaced by your material intent. Instead of following a prearranged spiritual plan, you will have been forced into a material maze of trickery instead. Dark forces have mixed up the collective consciousness of mankind," end quote. Well, what if those dark forces have fallen apart and the collective consciousness can rebuild itself with the heart-centered intention along the lines as described by Neville Goddard, when reality has no choice but to rearrange itself and reflect not what you want, but who you are being? Imagine that this process can now happen without interference from any cult or parasite. We talk about this and wander off script for most of the interview. Harold is a chemist and author. He's published scientific research in how aerosol operation fallout have affected cellular life on Earth. His groundbreaking research into Morgellon syndrome can be found in the book titled Dangerous Imagination, Silent Assimilation. He's also part of a self-healing group that can be accessed at the website spiritconsult.org. His website is called Aquarius Technologies. Both links will be at inothernewsradio.com. Let's go now to the rest of that interview.
Yeah, but we maintain our prison because we want to have it beautiful and tidy. This is like beautiful on one end and it's a mess on the other end because this echo, the echo of the satanic problem. Everything mental is nothing else by means of physics than an echo. I have a heart-based thought and then I rethink things, which means I put mental representations of reality to compare possibilities. This is what the mental does. And once it's running on trauma damaged code, it can just reproduce trauma. This is kind of the echo we are sitting in. And there's no evil agenda driving us further down the road. It's just like our own habits and the joy in repetition, call it joy if you want, or the mess in repetition, is making us repeat the same mistake until we solved it all, kind of every single one of us. So in a way, I want to take out this fear porn element. You know, when you observe transhumanism roll out, most of it is actually aborted. I remember times when souls of vaccinated people were removed onto satanic planets and the empty shell was just like running around like an empty biological portal run by programs or demons or whatever was running them. And if you look on the astral plane now, at least in my timeline, I don't know if this is the only one existing, the souls are back and they're just hovering like a little balloon 5 meters above the head. And whenever a human says, "I would like to have my soul back," and calls it back in, it comes back in. So, you know, this evil power that was securing every meter of ground it conquered is not there anymore. It's just us now, so we just need to get our own stuff sorted, which is good news for me.
And I realize this could be within a theoretical framework, and I'm certainly willing to discuss that framework. It does seem like the WEF, when Klaus Schwab had stepped down, that they pulled back. Now, they have their systems in place to close in on people, and they're building their data centers. And we have the people broadcasting the signals out of their bodies from the nanotech within them. And, you know, the idea is to have that information read, smart cities, and just to really tightly control people. Do you see that falling apart as well?
What I see falling apart is the power structure. Like 5-6 years ago, we had a centralized power structure. We had like one entity known as the old seeing eye, the red old vampire, the tall one, or whatever names he gave himself. He was basically sitting on the top of the hierarchy as an immortal being. And nobody, he was controlling a form of black magic that nobody else could apply. So he was always superior. And that creature died. He actually made the decision to start World War III, gave out the orders to move the military. And he had an instant karma reaction on that one that he could not predict, because the trap was just set seconds before he gave out the order. And since then, the power structure is split, and you can see it in all sorts of setups. If a kind of interesting spot to look at is always Israel. You have a government that actually mostly reports to Adelson, to the Jewish mob running casinos. And the ties to the Rothschild Bank are broken. I remember a day when you had like press releases from the Mossad that they have canceled the diplomatic relationship to the Israeli government. Oops. That was in a Canadian online portal, and it was published in Der Spiegel in Germany in a print newspaper. Just a three-liner. But I know what had happened before, because I used to get quite a bit of intel back then, and it was like the government giving the military the order to attack Iran with nuclear weapons, airplanes that were painted over and didn't show any belonging to a known military, just, you know, go and destroy Iran. And the Mossad said, this is going to backfire and we don't want this country to be destroyed. So they quickly assassinated all the politicians before the military people could accept the orders. That was kind of the last second where Israel acted as a unit. And since then, it's a big mess. You have so many different interests running the show. You have like all the washed mob money being dumped into holdings where they don't have names, you know, this is Wall Street, but they own Raytheon. And then you have a president that gets instantly killed if he doesn't report to the mob, who is sending one batch of weapons after another to Israel, making the American taxpayer pay for it. This is just business because, you know, the mob money wants to multiply by producing nice weapons so that kills someone else. And the only ones suffering from it are the Palestinians, massively, if you look at Gaza. And this is not anymore the Rothschild plan of creating Israel for completely different purposes. So it's falling apart. You don't have one you're reporting to. You have all sorts of funny groups who act out of funny, mostly egoistic interests. And it's an open power game.
Yeah, it seems like that. Yeah, I kind of got that sense So you have this falling apart occurring, and that gets back to your theory that this is a symptom of we're now in this echo of what mm-hmm. had happened, and that implies that human beings now have the opportunity to realize more of their power. In fact, in those realizations of their power won't be as suppressed. Maybe we can really harness our own energy and power as a collective. Do you think that's more possible now?
In a way, it's exponential process. It's like, you know, the experiment with the 100 apes.
The 100 monkey syndrome?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have like someone finding a solution, first his cousins and brothers will easily pick it up. And when you have the entire family in one generation doing it, maybe the parents pick it up and the younger ones, the children or grandchildren, pick it up. And when you have 100 monkeys doing the same trick, it instantly spreads over all the islands who have never observed the behavior. Because it basically takes control of the quantum field, of the collective field of the species.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense to me now, especially learning more about the human mind interfacing with the quantum substrate. So that implies, hey, somebody here could create the Joe cell, those devices that isolate the hydrogen molecule and attach it to their gas engine and run on water, right? So I was just thinking more about the Joe cell.
Yeah.
So they're having problems, I guess, with reproducing it perfectly, but now they could make a mold and 3D print it and all this good stuff. Mm. So there are really positive implications there.
Okay. Can I open a quick bracket?
Sure.
To all the people who love Joe cells and other things. Mm-hmm. Hardly anyone has seen the effect that harvests the energy. And the effect that is harvesting the energy actually is cavitation. You know, they all say it's electrolysis and you need a pulsed current and whatever, but all the pulsing and all the trickery is just to get a precise form of cavitation in a highly defined size. And what you need is electrodes with a millimeter gap. And then you can experiment with frequencies. And the less electrolyte is in the mix, the more over unity you get, because you reduce the part of the trickery that is based on conventional physics, because the cavitation you create in between the plates, it's an acoustic effect. It's the pulsed current that is creating the acoustics, and nobody knows it. If people would understand what effect they're playing with, research would look much better. Mm. And when you compare all the different ones, the Dingle device, Daniel Dingle, spherical forms are always better than plane forms because you have the field structure circular and not linear. This is helpful. Take it from there. So if you experiment on it, 1 millimeter gap size, not exactly sure about the frequency, but I think the best one was somewhere in 22,400 or 24,000. I don't know. It's in the papers. There's the perfect frequency to trigger that type of cavitation. And all you need to do is 100% control cavitation bubble size, because there is where it logs in into global scaling measures to harvest energy in the most perfect form. Then you have quantum entanglement to non-linear energy reservoirs.
Wow.
Just close the bracket. Let's not talk about free energy. It's boring. Yeah. We need people who can deal with abundance. This is much more important.
Yeah, right.
Creating abundance is no problem. Not going mad when you have abundance is much more difficult. And this is what I saw destroying all those beautiful startup companies who dealt with free energy. The moment it started working, greed creeped in and it all self-destroyed quicker than the handlers of the system could kill someone.
Oh, it was more about the shadow than the corporate suppression.
Yeah, it's the shadow of the people that has destroyed, because it's no problem. Look at Maternita in Switzerland. Tiny little group of religious people, they're on their free energy device since 1971. And nobody ever interfered. But they don't try to sell it, they don't monetize it, they don't even teach other people how it works. If you want to know how it works, you become a member, you live there for 3/4 of a year. And when they know that you have understood what abundance is, then they possibly will share how it works, and then you will have no desire to build it. Because you have understood the laws of abundance. And all the greed that is making people seek energy technologies that are more effective. It's like giving a self-destroying system energy. What do you think is happening? You will accelerate self-destruction. So it's no good idea to get out with free energy too early. Find abundance in your heart, and when you have the abundance in your heart, then abundance from the universe will flood your life. You will have everything if you have the abundance in your heart activated. The universe is flooding you with everything you need and more. And the day comes when you say, please, no more money, because more money means even more responsibility, and I can't take more responsibility at the moment. Leave me alone with money. This is what's happening. So you start to self-regulate in abundance. If you get too much, you give it away to other people who have capacities. And then you live in abundance, and then you might as well build a free energy device to preserve the environment, but not to save money. You might, you know, but there's no necessity. You might as well wait until it's mass-produced. Doesn't matter. And there are also risks to it. We at the beginning, when I did that research, it was, you know, oh, good news, bring it out to everyone. Then I saw the first people with working devices, and they got too greedy, and they went above 8 kilowatt output locally. And then you open portals and you get all sorts of nasty beings entering the sphere, possessing people and making them self-destroy. Big win. No?
Because you mentioned timeline jumps, and I'm not sure about timeline jumps, but I do sense that at times we may have jumped onto a better timeline and avoided a hard reset. And I'm not sure if CERN is involved. I wouldn't be surprised considering its massive structure, the occult nature, and the massive cost. But what are your thoughts on the recent timeline shifts and your thoughts on CERN?
I wouldn't even focus on CERN so much, because we can't change anything about what they're doing in any case. No, there's no democratic thing installed above CERN. They risk the existence of the planet. If they mess it up, we're gone. If not, we're not gone. Or there might be divine intervention or alien intervention before we are gone. Nothing within the sphere of my influence. But what we can understand is how timelines function. And I would like to give you a very simple example from the healing work, because it's happening way more often than you would think. And it's not limited to high tech. It's just something we do with our consciousness. I had a client. She had birth trauma because her mother was put on narcotics during the birth process. It was like, I don't know, surgery, cesarean or whatever. So, and it was quite a while ago, so the amount of narcotics in the bloodstream of the baby was so high that it was completely kicked out of consciousness, and she couldn't access the trauma, the birth trauma, because whenever she went there, she could not access the memory because she was faded out by the medication. And then there's a trick. You can basically, when you do that type of healing work, you can shift your perspective outside of the body. You go into the corner of the room. This is normally where the soul goes. And you observe your own birth from outside. This is just a trick to stay conscious. And then I basically helped her through to access that perspective and that point in timeline. And she, by decision and some astral techniques, pulled out the toxin of her own baby body. It was like there was one spot in the back where it could be extracted, and she perceived it as a black smoke that was in the baby's body. And she, with her finger, she sucked out that black smoke from the baby's body. And then she regained memory of her birth, and she could fix the trauma. Till then, I would say everything is kind of normal or halfway normal healing work you can do during regression. And then she said something really interesting. She said, oh, by the way, there was a second trauma straight after my birth. The doctor dropped me, and I fell to the ground and injured my head. And this time, because the body of the baby had more tension because it was awake, the doctor didn't drop me. He dropped me, but he managed to catch me before I hit the ground. So I suffered no trauma from that one as well. And this is where it's getting interesting, because you go in a regression, you go to a point in the timeline, and by changing something there, the entire cascade that came afterwards, it's also changing. So she now lives with a different past. Now the doctor didn't drop her, and she had no damage by narcotics during birth. Okay. Just by going back there and fixing it. This is the magic of self-healing. It doesn't work when somebody else is doing it. And this is how you need to understand time in general. It's not linear. It's toroidal. And the now is kind of always in the middle from a certain perspective. And you can both influence your future by making decisions. And you can influence your past by redeciding things you had once decided in a different way. And by this, you easily switch to a completely different timeline. It's almost identical in the now, just that you have different memories.
I love this topic right here. We had a guest on, I think I mentioned him in an email to you. He wrote the book Instant Healing, a number of other books, but he does, in one of the chapters, talk about going back into your own timeline and reimagining traumatic experience, but you turn it around as if the traumatic experience did not happen. This was a little different because it seems like she was there in real time removing the narcotic. Most people don't know we have this ability, which I understand because of our conditioning in our lifetimes, conventional living in our societies. But when you begin to learn that you have access to particular traumatic experiences in your life and to either reimagine them or fix them as you're describing, then maybe all these symptoms that have occurred from those traumas in the present time that you're dealing with, they would go away, right?
Yeah, it's, we see miracles every weekend. And the trick is basically what you exactly do. Let's take me a loop through physics, because it's the best proof I could bring. When you look into the newest branches of research, you can have a look at quantum gravity research, for example. In quantum gravity research, you look at a 8-dimensional quasi-crystal beyond time, where one four-dimensional crosscut is a universe. And the projection of the four-dimensional universe on a three-dimensional plane from a given perspective creates 3D illusion. So every single consciousness that lives on this planet has a different point of view. And this is quantum physics. It's number theory. It's not the fact that we are different humans in different bodies living in a material world. It is the design of the consciousness that is creating the illusion of this physical world. From the very basics of mathematics, perspective is important. And the day consciousness of most people has lost access to the pureness of this perspective of being the one who observes. We are everything. We are our home, our car, our carpets, our beautiful wife. We are the cash in the bank account. We are identified with the beauty of our body. We are identified with the thoughts. We are identified with the feelings. But the truth is, we are nothing of that. We are only the observer that is observing the thoughts, that is observing the feeling, that is observing the body, that is observing the car and the house and the boat and the wife he possesses or things he possesses. And this is all illusion. It's identification with things that are actually not you. And when you want to achieve this degree of freedom to rewrite your own life, the first thing to learn is how to become the observer again. And when you're just the observer, it becomes very easy to maneuver in the eight-dimensional quasi-crystal to any given perspective you want to maneuver in. This is ultimate freedom. And there you can maneuver through space and you can maneuver through time and you can maneuver through the layers of the fractal. You can become your higher self, you can become your highest self, which is the being that created me and the being that created the being that created me. So the entire fractal is accessible and I can identify with every perspective I want to identify within the crystal. And this is giving you the freedom and the power to change, to observe things. And once you observe them, you can also, if it's basically connected to you as a soul, you can redecide and rewrite your own narratives. And then the material plane just follows. No big deal.
I had, you know, sort of this phantom understanding, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or longer, that there is this invisible crystal structure that is the reality and the dimensions. And you said it much more elegantly here with the eight dimension.
It's eight dimensional quasi-crystal. This is the terminology they have introduced.
Who introduced that?
It's they're based somewhere in California. Quantumgravityresearch.org is the main site, and the guy who started is Clea Irvin. And it's amazing. Their work is so amazing because they just make number theory and some higher dimensional geometric calculations, and they can derive all the natural constants from that. They can derive the fractal beauty we experience. It's a toy for children. Looks like a looking glass where you look through, magnifying kaleidoscope. Mm-hmm. And it's like within that quasi-crystal, there's one structure. But in the created realities, you find the same form and shape and quality in all sorts of sizes multiplied. The reality in the quasi-crystal is rather simple. But the appearance as a realm we live in is turned into the beauty it has with a form of kaleidoscope calculation. that is giving us the fractal order of things. This is kind of one of the main findings that are beyond tempting when you look into it. When you have understood the principle, you can detect it in reality.
You would probably see expressions of these fractals taking shapes of sacred geometry.
I remember one day we had a seminar in Austria, and we were working on one topic of the collective plane, and this is kind of what it was, the book of black magic. It's like a physics book constituting our realm. And you can see it in a symbolic form in the astral plane. And we were looking for ways to basically close that book, to limit the power of the black magician that ruled the place, or just to alter our reality and get it free of those manipulative possibilities. It's better to express it in a non-dramatic way. And that was kind of the overlaying topic of the day. And then you had all the side stories, like someone made friends with a Freemason, he moved to another city, and he gave her all of his books. There were a couple of books with rather dark content. And the lady was sitting on those books and gave away some of them to other people, so lots of people had access to black magic, dark knowledge from the books of that library. And they all were kind of thinking about what to do with those books. And we were not even working. I was somewhere in the entry area of that seminar center talking to a lady, and she said, actually, I found access to that book, and I think it is something that we would leave to you to do. Could you please try to close the book? And I was considering whether this is possible for me to do it at that point or whether it's not possible. And then from the hall, someone came up, and from outside, someone came in, walking in a spiraling path towards me. And they, 100% synchronized, said to me, by the way, we have decided to burn those books. Two independent decisions to get rid of their books, spoken from two different people who have not communicated about the matter in any way before, in the same second, spiraling inwards to the place where I was. And then it was just like feeling that spiral. And at that moment, this book appeared, and I actually, on the astral plane, had the possibility to close it. In a way, it's no big deal, because it's only my perception. I have altered my reality. But there was a collective component to it, because I didn't do that alone. Other souls were involved. And the motion pattern in the room was a direct function of that kaleidoscope. And you could feel it in that moment. This is actually you can feel the core quality of life. It's not the ego that is doing something because it wants to do something. You just start to report to the universe. You sit as an observer somewhere in your eight-dimensional quasi-crystal cube. You sit there, jump from perspective to perspective, and enjoy a show unfolding, and you exactly know what to do in what moment, because the universe is showing you the way, and it's paradox, because it is the total loss of any freedom in the egoistic sense, and the total win of all freedoms of the world, because whatever you touch turns into gold, because you're doing it aligned with the universe.
And then you had that spiral shape, which is a Fibonacci sequence.
Looked like one, yeah. The motion pattern, and it felt like one.
I would imagine German Freemasons, you know, in the past have quite the book collections, you know. The inception of these secret orders were certainly in and around Germany. There is some darkness there centered in that country.
Let's not be judgmental. It's really difficult with, you know, when you're caught in the game, yeah. When you think I'm a good person and I see all this darkness around me, yeah. And I need to defend myself against it, or maybe I can even win a war against them and take them out or whatever, then it's good and evil and you're in the middle of the drama triangle interaction, which is a trap in itself. And when you manage to evolve to what we call unity consciousness, it's like looking at good and evil like an adult would remember kindergarten. It's just kind of principles that can encounter each other and form a quite exciting realm of experience for unexperienced souls.
Oh, I like that. It's better than detachment, too.
Yeah. And when you're grown out of it, you're grown out of it. And when you meet someone that is captured in drama triangle interaction, you can just sit there and say, "Ooh, yeah, I'm in full compassion with you, guy. I've been there. You know, I've been there. I've been the perpetrator. I've been the victim. I've been the savior. I've done it all. And I exactly know how you feel." When you say this from the perspective of unity consciousness, it's very comforting. And sometimes people can let go of the drama when you approach it like that. And this is kind of the development we made. And this actually is the purpose of this place here. When you listen to the stories from the rest of the universe, planet after planet is kind of infected with a satanic principle. And the attempt to restage a planetary self-destruction results in another planetary self-destruction. And the army of Borg species that hoover through open space and attack planets to reproduce the problem go into the millions. This is kind of what is out there. As far as we got the narrative, Gaia with the last five humanities, the last five creations, was a desperate attempt by fallen species to create a species that has the ability to overcome this drama trap. And enough people have done it by now. So on the plane of the spiritual blueprints, the solution is available to the entire universe now. The universe has learned how to overcome the quite heavy trap you lose yourself in when you are subject to satanic trickery.
Right. Yeah? That's very uplifting, listening to you talk about understanding in a compassionate way these the bigger dynamics going on. It really dispels any kind of fear in it. We had done a number of shows here addressing the Gnostic beliefs and the reincarnation mm-hmm. trap and archons, and you've been doing a lot of healing work with people, and you've learned to become more indifferent to the archon entities that attach mm-hmm. themselves to mm-hmm. us in specific chakra points. Would you tell listeners about this type of healing work and the vulnerable chakras and how you managed to rid mm-hmm. the body of these archons?
I don't know if it's as bad for everyone else, but when I started to take care of myself, I started counting, and I think I stopped counting at 36 different entities, demonic entities I expelled from my system. And with 36, I was kind of half through. I would not say that I'm completely clean, but I feel much better. And the thing is, they attach to you either because the body is poisoned and they can get hold when there are enough toxins in the body, it's no problem for them to attach, because the human soul doesn't want to occupy this rubbish dump. No, but they can, they don't care. You can have them in by contract. This mostly comes from previous lifetimes, unless you have lived through active black magic rituals and have contracted those entities in this lifetime. Possibly one or the other has. And sometimes they come in by rituals where we have forgotten what they are for, like circumcision. Male and female is traumatizing the body in a way that invites in entities. In Judaism and Islam, it's even by contract. That's called Brit Mila. It's a contract you make.
Say that again. Cut out. It's called what?
A Brit Mila. Brit Mila is the Hebrew word for circumcision, for the ritual one. Okay. And it's a contract. It's called a contract. And you contract in one of those spider entities, one Yabulon, that is taking control of your sacral chakra. And then you have it in. This is why most of the ladies in the Western world dream about a Jewish lover, but they actually don't want to have a Jewish husband, because the entity can control and exploit sexuality. But when it comes to human relations, it's rather destructive. With Muslim people, it often moves from the sacral to the third eye. And then you have this religious madness, believing that it's okay to kill a non-believer or subordinate entire countries to Islam because Allah wants you to do that. When you look into their eyes, you can see the entity. But it's not only with Muslims up there. If you look at the Pope, if you look at leading politicians, they all have a spider behind the forehead. This is kind of the spider. Let's start from the first one, the snakes. Kundalini snake and Tummo snake, the male counterpart, used to be a setup of every human being. We talk about Kundalini energy as if it is a human force. It's not. It's a satanic entity that controls us and convinces us to donate all our energy to her. This is kind of first and seventh chakras, the snakes. Second and sixth is the spider, Yabulon. And then it's getting interesting, the Cthulhu, the Kraken demon, is controlling number 3 and number 5 chakra-wise. And it's ruling every single quality of hierarchy on this planet.
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu. Pirates of the Caribbean, the captain, right. Kraken face, right. Captain. This is how they look like. These are the most tricky one because they inhabit the astral plane. And for example, they completely control the relationships between narcissists and people pleaser type of humans that inhabit every single hierarchy on this planet.
It's everything, right? Every job
works. Yeah. Every job, military, companies, families, everything that is structured in a hierarchy is structured by those entity, because of the narcissistic codependent he has of the Kraken in his solar plexus. The Kraken is absorbing all the anger, makes the human believe that he's a loving person, until he says, because you're an idiot, I have to scream again.
So then the question is, Howdy McCoskey says, who wrote Exit the Cave, Ending the Reincarnation Trap, he asks, we're in the afterlife and we're being judged. How can you be judged when you have all these etheric parasites on you? They're interfering with the human love relationship. They're exploiting, you know, the subtle impulses to behave a certain way and feeding off of you at the same time. And then the angels, you messed up here and you messed up there. Mm-hmm. Time to go back. Now you have this knowledge and you could argue, wait a minute, what about the Kraken? What about this demon? What about the spider was over here the whole time? I think you're wrong. I refuse. You don't have my permission to send me back.
No, it's things always come with a price. For example, if you are afraid of your own vital forces, you're afraid if you handle your anger yourself, you're going to hurt someone. Or you're going to be subordinated if you show too much of yourself. Whatever reason you might have to not feel your own anger is giving you the willingness to accept an entity that is deleting this anger from your system. And on the other side of the Kraken, to continue with the last one of the Archons, is the people pleaser who does not want to feel his own fear. He's too coward to live his life. So he's willingly subordinating himself to someone who tells him what to do. And the Kraken is pushing one arm into his solar plexus, deleting the fear. So he is subordinated, he follows commands and orders, but he has all the courage to put things into deed in the world. The narcissist, he has two hands tied to the ground. He can't do anything because he has zero fear control. He just has anger control. He can't do anything. He's completely incapable of doing anything. He can just command people to do it for him. And the people pleaser can do everything, but he can't make a decision because he's too scared to make a decision. And this is kind of forming those codependencies, and you need to look always for the hidden profit. And then once you have the hidden profit, it's cheap to say, I have been manipulated. No, I bought into a contract because I had no other option at that point in time. And it's okay, I can forgive myself. And this is about the judgment. When we die, there's no one to judge us except ourselves. And when you have understood your own trajectory, where you came from, where you went to, what you did, for what reason, what kind of adventure you had chosen to gain experience and get access to spiritual growth, there's nothing to forgive because everything is balanced and contracted.
Harold, a lot of your research centered around something called black goo more than a decade ago, and you became known for bringing that information forward to the public. This substance is known to hold a consciousness, and there's also a more positive derivative used as a health product called Mamugio, I think it's called. Would you please talk more about that?
It's a leftover of what was supposed to become Earth-type black goo.
And people are taking the Shilajit, right? That's
yeah,
the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's the same thing. It's like you can imagine the way it is created. You have upstreaming water from deep underground, saturated with minerals and carbon dioxide. You have kind of natural valves that release pressure after the valve. And there you have cavitation fields, and the magic is happening in the cavitation bubbles.
Oh, there
you go. Having carbon dioxide, it's the same trickery of nature with like with the
Joe cell.
Cavitation is one of the core principles we can understand nature through, because it's the toroidal form is there and the physics are in the right size, just magical. And it's like a transmutation hub, and it brings in heavier elements from outside of this realm.
So you have fulvic acid in there, and there are some other nutrients. They call it a phytonutrient.
This is kind of what comes after the cavitation unit. Mm-hmm. If you have carbon dioxide and water and you bring it into a high-speed vortex, it's ripping the two molecules apart. Oh. If you have minerals to hold basically the fulvic acid for a moment, then you create fulvic acid out of the minerals, so the water and the carbon dioxide. So you bind the carbon dioxide as a pre-organic compound into the water. And from there, it starts like assembling to more complex units until you get the carbon nanotubes, the C60 out of it. And all those weird organic elements are the bases of the black goo. But the real magic is actually the M-state matter that is also created, kind of monoatomic gold, iridium, that are the biophoton attractor within the liquid black goo. But this is kind of a long process. It starts building up in water veins, then it's separating itself. The oil phase is moving into oil reservoirs, and then the part of the oil that is alive up concentrates to form black goo. And this is the conscious part. This is kind of how a planetary spirit incarnates into a planetary sphere. Oh. It's an incarnation process.
Okay.
That
wow.
takes millennia to happen.
Oh, millennia. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. A last word from my end, time.
Oh, sure.
Actually, when you really take it from quantum physics, we create the material plane as a projection, as a mirror of the inner world. If I have politicians that subordinate me, this is because I don't take responsibility for my life. It's always a mirror function. And this is one principle we need to understand. And the other one is the principle of the 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. If enough people make their homework and do not have ugliness inside anymore, to be projected onto the material plane, either nothing bad can happen or it needs a complete new timeline to match their reflections. So whatever it ends up as, either you get a new timeline with all the other people who are fine and who do their homework, could be a bit egoistic, or you prevent the ugliest things for everyone else just by getting yourself sorted. And this is exactly what I mean with self-responsibility. The first sentence we kind of demand when someone new comes into the healing environment is the sentence, I experience what I experience because I am who I am, full stop. When I've acknowledged that, then I can start thinking about how can I change myself. And this is the only thing we have authority on. In any case, I can't change the politicians. I can't change the laws of the physical realm I'm living in. I can't change anything except of myself. But this I can do very quickly just by decision when I understand who I am, how I work, and what's wrong with me.
Neville Goddard says essentially the same thing, but you come at it from a scientific quantum view, and he's saying, when you're aligned with what you are inside, you hold on to the dominant state of, for example, ease and abundance, that the universe has no choice to but to reflect back who you are being.
And, absolutely.
And implies that we are shaping our reality. But a lot of people don't realize that. Maybe it's a lot of responsibility, but once you figure that out, it's
getting fun.
Yeah. Harold Kotzvella, this is ending the second part of the interview. Mm-hmm. And I want to say thank you again for being on the show. It's just been fascinating to talk with you. And we basically went off script here. And can you remind listeners again how they might keep in touch with you and follow what you're doing?
Okay. First of all, Vella is not my wife anymore. So you might as well find me as Harald Kautz.
Okay.
I'm hesitating to aggressively get rid of the Vella because so many people know me as Kautz Vella. And my kids are still Vella, so I also feel kind of attached to the name on that path. But legally, Vella is gone. I've got a former company website with all the publications, the scientific publication with quotes and everything you need. That's aquarius-technologies.de. Then for my healing work, the Swiss Association we founded is at spiritconsult.org. This is where you could book one-on-one healing sessions, or if you want to travel to Germany, go on a seminar, or we have online seminars as well. It's a new form that develops, makes it easier to spread to other continents. Yeah, this is kind of the main part. I think for this interview, the medical research is not that important.
Yeah, Harold, thank you again for being on In Other News.
My pleasure.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.